Hey kid, you looking for answers? Wrong stop. But if you're into messy stories about addiction, mental health, and the side of life that no one else wants to discuss, come, stay a while. This is Malfunction Junction. I'm Andrew. That's Jay. We're just two guys trying to figure some shit out before the next bus rolls in. Sit tight. Might get weird. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction. This is Andrew. I am currently out here, and we are on a vacation for the week from recording the podcast because I and Magdalene, my girlfriend, took a vacation up to, well, right now we're up in Montana between Big Sky and Bozeman. Very pretty up here. I've posted some pictures on my personal Instagram. Hold on, I got a chicken approaching my phone that I set up. There's chickens, there's horses, there's goats, sheep herding dogs, an outhouse, an outside shower. It's a great little place out here where we are. This week's episode is more of, I wanted to preface it. This is just a preface right here. This week's episode is, as far as my knowledge goes, the final recording of our friend Dakota. I did about an hour and a half long podcast with him before he passed, about probably 2 months before he passed, because when he was staying at my house, that's when we recorded this. And I haven't listened back to it. It's hard to listen back to now. I had kind of just stored it when I recorded it because it was shaky. It was hard to, you'll see in it that there's probably a lot of that sound because Dakota was nervous and he was shaking the mic a lot. It was before we had the mic arms. So no blame on him. It's a tough one to figure that out, especially as a musician. I'd like to stress again how fucking talented this guy was, and I wish we had some recordings of him. I don't know if there are any out there. If anyone's listening to this and knows of some recordings of Dakota singing and playing music, send them my way. I have some things that I can do with them. I'd like to do something for him with them. I know that it's all for nothing at this point, but he should have something to be remembered by. It's been a tough week, 2 weeks, I guess, but it's tough when the last words that you speak to somebody are not good words. If I'm being honest, I do feel ashamed. It's not my fault, but I could have acted better. So, I guess listen to this if you want. It's heavy, knowing now. The kid's been through a lot. But if you want to understand what he'd been through, we did about an hour and a half long podcast, and we'd planned to do another, but then things just went south. So there's a point at the end of this podcast where I say, let's do a part two of this, and part two ain't coming, just so you know. I hope y'all are doing well. We'll be back next week to our regularly scheduled programming. Jay and I have some fun stuff for y'all. But for this week, it's a somber one. So, listen and remember our friend Dakota. Thank you. Here's the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction. This is Andrew, and I am here today with a good friend of mine, instead of Jay. Jay is also a good friend of mine, but I am here today with Dakota.
What's going on, guys?
He is going to fill in for Jay, but also really just here to tell his story. We've got quite an interesting man here with us today, and it's a pleasure for me to share y'all with him. Dude. So I don't really know where this is going to go. We don't really have a plan. We have nothing planned here, but we're two friends that are just going to have a conversation about what the fuck's been going on in Dakota's life over the past 2, 5, 10 years. Dakota, why don't you go ahead and start by introducing yourself as much as you would like to give?
Well, I'm Dakota. I'm a 32-year-old musician in Denver, Colorado. I'm not from here, from the other side of the country. And further south, this is too cold for me, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
9 months of winter is not necessarily.
It's only six.
It's the middle of May, and it just got to 80 degrees for the first time.
That's beautiful for me.
Okay.
I hate the hot.
Dude, I'm trying to have my shirt sticking to me. Like, I want to sweat. Like, I want to, like, be uncomfortably hot in my
home. I hate that.
With the AC to not be effective.
That's not at all good. That's the worst. That's the worst time ever. I hate that time. It's just not a good time. I don't enjoy it at all. I'm fine with the temperate. Like, it's Colorado's great. It's fine. It's fucking.
The weather is really nice sometimes.
The weather's great.
But I mean, like, it does get too cold. It's too dry. Like, I shouldn't have to use this much lotion.
That's true. As a white man, it's hard to use this much lotion.
Right.
Yeah. Hold on a second. It was I have like a preset sound on that. What?
I said schwerd.
Yeah. So.
So I've had my struggles with addiction too. I guess that's the part of the background that's, you know, relevant.
Sure.
You know, I've since an early age, that was kind of, it was always a part of my life. It was something that just kind of was. I didn't see it for what it was until I was older. But you know, I was drinking sodas as a kid, you know, my folks smoke type that, you know, we're going to park the car in the Walmart parking lot and see if we can't smoke one before we get in, and just going to flick the half of it.
Yeah.
You know, cause you don't have to fucking, you don't have to do anything with it. You just flick it. Right. Like,
I'll be honest.
In the car, windows up.
Damn. Okay. No, I'm not like that. That's hardcore.
Yeah.
That's hardcore. That's not even legal anymore.
I don't know about it.
No.
You
like,
can't smoke with a kid in the car, I don't think.
You cannot smoke. No, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, with a kid in the car at all. But, like, windows up, they would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
My nanny does it, man. Like, she keeps the windows up. She's ashtray in the center cup holder. She's
that's got her just bad shit to me.
Virginia Slims, man. She smoked for forever. Man, I feel like an asshole for not knowing the exact numbers. She's in her 80s now. But she just quit one day. Just quit.
That's. Yes, yeah, I don't know. I can't.
There's a couple people I know like that.
That just quit?
Somebody else, man, was a smoker up until he was 45, 50 years old. He was at work one day and just decided to quit. And that's exactly how he explained
that's
it.
That's how my grandfather quit. Yeah. He was like, I think my dad. The way my dad said it was because my grandfather died before I was born. And the way my dad said it was he one day realized that he was paying to die, and he just quit. And I was like, oh, that's a fucking
Jesus.
That's a fucking great way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what you're doing, smoking cigarettes. Right. You are paying to die.
It's not going to go on your credit report, but it'll go on your track record of decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I've always struggled quitting nicotine. I've been on nicotine since I was 13 years old.
Struggled wanting to quit it, or just with the actual quitting?
The actual quitting.
Okay.
Like, I've quit. There are only two drugs that I don't like that I have not been able to quit, and that is, other than like drugs that are like prescribed to me, whatever. That's cannabis. On my own, I've never been able to quit smoking weed. I've realized this the last time I went to rehab, that I would require rehab in order to quit smoking weed. And I don't know why.
I'd quit drinking by myself. Heroin was a...
So what goes on? Like, you say you decide to quit and, like, you don't have any or whatever. Like, do you make it a day and just, like, you know, something goes on?
I'll figure out how to get some.
Stop at the dispo. You set out to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get quests, as they say.
You must collect this resin.
Yeah, yes. You must find a way to get this pipe and find a way to smoke everything that's inside of it. No, we're not talking about putting things inside of it. What's already in it? Okay. And just, I do it. And I just smoke smoke all the resin out of the pipe. And then I keep hitting it until it's a fucking dry pipe and I break the fuck. I've broken multiple pipes by lighting it for like too hot. Like, and not like, it doesn't break like the whole, like shatter it. Cause it's obviously glass can heat, but like it's one of those things where it just makes it so weak that then it just like I've had one in particular. I had like a Gandalf pipe that I did this with, and it got like, somehow, man, I don't know what the fuck happened to it. I just, the only thing I can have explained with it is that I did that a lot with it, and it just wore out and just broke. And I was like, I didn't know that could happen.
Did a little bit.
Yeah. But, weed was, I don't even know where we were talking about, but weed is fucking
quitting weed.
Yeah. I think it's just because like
when was the last time you went a day without it?
I don't know, man. Let me think. When was the last time I went to rehab? 2022. So 2022, that was the last time I went a day without weed. I mean, I'm not like, I got this podcast about addiction
and everything.
And I have tried to stress a few times on this podcast that I am not sober.
Right.
I don't drink alcohol at all. And I haven't in coming up on 2 years, man. And I'm pretty proud of that because alcohol was the biggest fucking problem in my life. The one thing we like preach about on this show is the most, if we're going to preach about anything, it's harm reduction.
Right.
It's, and just, yeah.
That was my next question, is the rest of your life functions, you know?
Exactly. And I can function smoking grass, but maybe I'd be able to function higher. Like when I quit smoking grass, I am fucking like impeccably smart. Like I just cannot like, and I say impeccably almost wrong there, but it's fully right. I fully know what I'm saying there. Cause it's like, it's like one of those things where it's like, I've met a couple of older people in my times in rehab, and they like that are like smart people, and they are all fucking like, they've all been like, who the fuck are you, dude? Because like I just come in there and I like, my brain gets off the weed, and I just like, I don't know, man. I just I go back to who I am as a person, which is I'm pretty smart.
It's not hindered at all. It's not slowed down at all.
Like, it's not all slowed down at all, dude. And I don't need to be. You don't need to be like
all pistons, man.
Yeah, and it's like I always
you
like
remember what you're doing while you're doing it.
Being like that, the idea of being smart is a new thing to me. I always thought like I was. Not stupid, but I was always like told that I was not good enough by teachers, and that's like, that kind of is like, I told you a little bit about what's going on with that teacher, that professor, and I don't really specifically want to talk about it on this episode because it's kind of, I've talked about it already on this episode, but it wasn't surprising to me at all that the end of my school would end the same way that the beginning of my school started as age 3. I started Montessori school at age 3. I was molested by a teacher. Like, and then later on in 7th grade was like, the whole thing that happened was my teacher took my phone and read my text messages between me and the girl that I was dating in 7th grade. Somehow deduced that we were having sex, which we weren't. I'd never kissed this girl. And like,
right.
And then told the gave it to the principal, and then told the principal then told her parents that we were having sex. Again, never kissed this girl. Wasn't having sex with her. We were in seventh grade. I know I didn't get laid until high school.
Yeah.
But like it's it was just like trauma after trauma from the perspective of like abuse of authority. Like it's the way it scarred me is like it's I could give a fuck about authority. Like, dude, if you want to have authority over me, why? What's your fucking deal? Right. That you want to be in charge of me. Well, I can be in charge of my own self.
Because this figure that's supposed to be there, guide you, or like be insightful or whatever, you've had nothing but negative experiences with.
Exactly. And so I have had positive experiences with professors and teachers. But it's like, it doesn't surprise me that the one that is my main professor in my major in college is the same bitch that I've met throughout my school career. They're all the same. They all are not that bright themselves, so they must snuff out brightness when they find it.
That's all too common.
Yeah, it really is.
You can shine, just don't shine too bright.
And that's like kind of like why I started like smoking weed in the first place, was because like I realized that I realized after that I was like, I mean, for a while it was like, what the fuck's going on? Like, why is this happening to me? Like, I didn't do anything wrong. I was texting my girlfriend in class. Everybody I fucking have ever met has sent a text message in class. Even my goody two shoes sister, who I love you, Grace. You're the best. We are not the same. You've sent a text message in class, Grace. So that's what I'm trying to say. Is that everybody's fucking every good
everybody knew how to text in their hoodie.
Man. Everybody that is a part of a particular generation, from born in probably 91 on.
Yeah.
Could avoid doing that, by the way. It rattles in the. I can hear it. But 91 on, everybody knows how to fucking text. At least, I mean they did it growing up. Right. It was part of our growing up.
Well, yeah, everybody used to get in trouble for passing notes and everything.
That's
an instant form of communication.
Exactly.
Everybody's got one in their pocket.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, like, this teacher is also will not allow you to use artificial intelligence, which is, like, so counter education and progress and technological innovation.
Is it because she wants you to know how to do that part, like...
But look, like, okay, like, I get it. But what do you like? You want me to search an individual seven individual websites to look for what I'm looking for,
like,
or
you
should
Googled
I just fucking
something 15 billion times in your life?
Straight up,
that's not fundamentals. You're not necessarily, practicing in anything instead of using a shortcut.
Right. This is AI is a refined search engine that has the ability to organize things.
Yeah, so
and
you're just neglecting a tool.
You're neglecting a tool. And the fact that that she's not allowing us to use it is the same fucking logic as you will never have a calculator in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
What do you mean I'll never have a calculator in my pocket? I have AI in my pocket.
No shit.
like, I don't know, man. It's,
I got the NBA playoffs in my pocket, man.
Yeah, I can watch fucking... I could pull up the Giants game. By the way, go Giants. Go San Francisco Giants, baby. I know we live in Colorado, but fuck, the Rockies are so bad, dude. The Rockies are so bad.
I've never heard of a team being that bad.
I know. There has never been a team that bad. There has been one team. One team that has... I think it was in their first 39 games has the same amount of losses as the Rockies. It was some from fucking like the 20s.
Hmm.
Like the 1920s. Like crazy.
And them dudes weren't athletes. That was like Joe from the butcher shop
down
the street.
For real.
Yeah.
Adrian was on break down there in his uniform.
Mm-hmm. forget what we were even talking about, but so we'll get into talking about a little bit what you're dealing with. So why don't you start with, like, I mean, where do you want to start? Where's a good starting point to ask you about what the fuck's going on right now?
Well, I guess since it's I think the most important thing would be just to go ahead and give, like, a quick background on, like, where I'm coming from.
Yeah, that's okay. That's perfect.
So, like I was saying earlier, addiction's been, like, it wasn't necessarily named that, you know, early in life. It was just, I want to, you know, get a sugar buzz or be hyper. I'm going to drink this Mountain Dew so I can stay up and play Xbox 360. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just dropped this new game fuel. I'm going to drink six of them. And then, you know, I've got some cigarette butts out my fucking mama's ashtray and shit like that.
Right, but,
like,
yeah.
As far as, like, culture goes and the way that, like, I was raised, like, a lot of the things that we did just in our behaviors as a family, like, the way they were raised and what they passed on to us, were things that now, as a society, we're like, hey, that's a bad behavior. You don't do that because it leads to this. Like, but 95 fucking percent of what we were doing was exactly that. So, like, you know, definitely had to make a switch at some point, but, like, it led into, like, okay, I drink sodas all the time, you know, caffeine.
You a fat kid, by chance?
Energy drinks. No, I've always been, I was an athletic kid.
Right, okay.
I was never a very wrestler, big person. Right. There was times where, like, I was very, in shape. But, right. Like, I've never been a very big person.
Sure. I mean, I can relate to that personally.
Yeah. So, like, I, you know, that probably added to it because there's no visible consequence. And that's kind of how a child would see the situation. Okay. You're not supposed to drink sodas because you'll get fat. Well, I don't get fat, dude. I'm going to drink six sodas and tomorrow, and it's going to be just fucking fine.
Right.
Like, and, you know, like, my folks were awesome, but, like, I had a lot of time on my own. Like, there was nobody holding my fucking hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so I was able to develop a lot of behaviors that were, you know, addictive type behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time, you know, I found weed,
how old was that?
Started forming habits with that, like, around 12 years old. I don't think I started smoking it until, like, my freshman year of high school.
Hey, just like, real quick.
Regularly.
Okay. Every time you hit this mic, the mic, anything on it, it, like, reverbs back.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Got it.
Yeah. If you need more more room or more of this or anything like that, just take some of that. That's a 15-foot cord.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, so, like,
So you had 15?
Yeah, I guess my freshman year of high school, was I 14 years old?
I think that's, like, 14 and 15, those 2 years.
Okay. So, you know, I'm smoking weed out of a fucking trumpet mouthpiece and a Gatorade bottle with my boys on drumline, like, fucking, you know, and that ends up, like, stealing triple C's from the Publix and fucking feeling like an elephant in space at the movie theater watching Nightmare Before Christmas. And
mine was always giraffe above the clouds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it was an animal.
I'm just saying.
I have no business.
No, I have no business feeling like a giraffe among the clouds. Like, you know,
is back when they didn't have that shit in the case, bro. Like, we just nabbed a few boxes, like, threw it in our hoodie, popped it out the box, threw it up the sleeves.
Simpler times.
On our way to school.
Simpler,
like,
times.
Can you imagine, man? Like, you know how ridiculous you act and, like, the way you process things and how off from reality your perception is on triple C's. Like, I was at school, dog, doing class.
Yeah, right.
And in everything I knew up to this point pointed to the direction that drugs were just the coolest thing in the world. There's nothing more you can do. That's everything I knew at that time.
Right, yeah.
From an early age. they were glorified on like regular, you know, TV, stuff like that, but in the end and into like regular culture and into family culture. And, you know, I had older brothers and sisters, and, you know, I'm just trying to be like them. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do what they're doing.
Right.
You know, this comes up, they're doing that. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. By the time I get my shot, bro, it's already over for me. I never had a choice.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, and that went a long way. Like, I smoked a lot of weed for a long time until I started messing around with some other drugs and stuff like that. And then it became an actual problem where, you know, weed never, okay, maybe I overslept for some shit.
Right.
You know. Maybe I didn't do my laundry and now I'm wearing a dirty shirt. Like,
I still do that. Hold on one sec.
Go. I got the munchies, man. Like, it's not that big of a deal at this point yet. And, so I started to get into other drugs because I was drinking at the time, but I never really had it be an issue.
When I started, it wasn't immediately an issue for me at drinking. It was a long, once I got to like, and even when I was like first in college, it wasn't the drinking that was a problem. I never considered myself an alcoholic until I was 22,
okay,
23 maybe.
Okay.
You know, because I was like, I realized like, oh shit, now that I have the ability to do this every day, I do.
Right.
You know.
Because why not?
Because why the fuck?
You haven't seen the consequences of it
yet. There's no consequences of it yet. And there's also like, it's so much fun at that age because it's new. It's brand new. In this country, and I mean, I know we have some listeners out in the UK and I believe Ghana. Is the only other country that we have. We have two different countries, Ghana and the UK, that have, other than the United States.
Some
have
listeners out there.
Yeah, because I've done some promoting of the show, so we've had a few guys go. If you, and honestly, if you're that person listening right now, shout out, dude. Shout out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah! I'm so stoked you're here. Here in the States, like when we get that 21 in the States, it's off to the fucking races, dude. The very first thing we do is just get when I turned 21, my boss told me the next day, "Hey, you're good, dog." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Look, I turned 21 once. You're fine. You don't have to show up tomorrow. Don't worry about it." Because he was just like I didn't quite get what he meant. And then I got to the bar that night, and it was like everybody in the bar was buying me a shirt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, 21, dude. Fucking high five. Well, let's get this guy needs a shot. Like, let me get you. What do you like? Do you know? No, like, it's just like, that was that's the way it is. And
yeah.
When you turn 21 here.
You only been looking forward to it for a few years.
For a long time, right? Yeah. What it does is the fact that it's restricted before that to the point of like where if you have a MIP, minor in possession, you're in pretty big trouble.
Yeah.
It's not like a felony, but I think it can be, but like I don't believe it's a felony, but it's I have no idea. I never got one. But
me neither.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to get caught back then.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the backwoods, and like I still had some friends that got caught, but they were retarded.
And if you had to fuck up to get caught.
If you're one of those friends listening right now, that's not my fault. You're retarded. By the way, that little sound up the button I'm pressing is the boom button. Mm-hmm. Minor in possessions. I don't remember what I was saying about that. But anyway, so yours started with weed and then got into harder stuff. What was the first harder thing you ever used?
Weed and then into triple C's.
What is that exactly?
That's cough medicine, man. It's kind of like Robitussin.
DXM.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of trippy, psychedelic, but feels like absolutely terrible. It's you feel terrible the whole time, and you're just trying to outrun it.
Yeah, it's miserable.
Yeah, it kind of is.
There are some kids that at the kava bar that were telling me about robo tripping, and I was like, why wouldn't you just do, like, real drugs?
Right.
Like, if you're going to fuck around. And they were like, well, I live in a sober house. And I was like, well, hey, man.
So what are you robo-tripping for?
That's exactly. And it's like, if you need to do robo-tripping to get away from drug testing, then, hey, man, just go do drugs. You still have time left to fucking... You don't have enough love. You have not reached a place in your life.
You know, that's interesting to think about, though.
You've gotten to the point where you want to give yourself enough love to quit that toxicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you thinking, though?
I'm just saying it's interesting to think about, because, like, that dude's in the sober house. Like, he's obviously he's doing enough to be productive enough to get by in there.
I suppose.
But then on his off time, he wants to robo-trip. Obviously, I don't condone that.
Condone robo-tripping here on Malfunction Junction Podcast.
Yeah, like, I don't know my guy's circumstances. Is he in there for drug court? Is he in there to try to better himself?
I don't know.
Is he looking for a way to just try to get his rocks off or whatever? Doesn't sound like a good way to go about it.
No.
But, like, maybe the dude doesn't know that you can... Well, I guess he was at a coffee bar, right?
Yeah.
So he knows there's other options.
That's okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's, yeah, so you triple C's for you there, and then what about
And how old were you? So that was my freshman year in high school, man. Yeah, and then from there on, it was mostly just weed and drinking up until I got to the point where I was 18. Then I started getting into, like, the club scene and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
Started getting into the party drugs, took Molly. Right. Face.
Oh, yeah.
Ran all over Ybor City with beautiful women and did crazy things that, you know, looking back on, I'm super glad I never got caught doing. But, like, it's wild. Like, any given night, I could have gone to prison for a long time.
Right.
Just for going and having a good time.
Right.
Time of his life, man.
Time of his life. Was it worth it?
Living it up? Right. Hell no, it wasn't.
No, I mean, like, that's the question every time he asks. Is like, if you get, when he goes, it was the time of his life, he got caught, was it worth it?
In the moment, I'm like, oh, I'm going to remember this forever. You know, but I don't remember shit from anything.
Dude. Yeah, anything I did on drugs, I don't remember anything from.
Right.
I got a couple pictures, I got a couple notes I wrote, but, like, other than that, like, I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, man. So I get into all that stuff, start tripping on acid, start doing Molly and stuff like that. That leads me to, like, ketamine and underground warehouse raves. And I'm spinning fire and, you know, I got a backpack full of everything. I'm doing bumps of everything on the way and we're going to festivals. And
sure.
At some point along this line, I start losing things. Like, I don't remember where I put my wallet. Oh, fuck. At least I found it. Like, I really don't fucking know what I did with that half ounce of fucking mushrooms, dude. Like, I just don't. And then eventually I start forgetting things like important shit that are like routine and maintenance in order to like function in life. So those things start compounding and it's like this loose end wasn't tied up. This I wasn't dotted. This T wasn't crossed. And because of the culmination of all of these things, whatever it was I set out to do would fail, because at this point the consequences had started showing up. You know, the holes were starting to get big enough to make an impact on my life outside of the actual act of using the drug.
Right.
So, like, you know, eventually you start running out of money. You start forming these habits where you're constantly doing something, you know. It's like you're fueling a rocket ship, and it's just not...
You're fueling a rocket ship, yes, but you're fueling it with fucking, like, straight garbage.
It's just too expensive to fuel. Like, it's not sustainable. No. Like, you're dropping hundreds of dollars in your nose in a fucking night. You're doing nitrous balloons, and you end up doing, you know,
way too much.
I made $600 at the beginning of the night. Like, I sat down and to get a couple balloons, and now I have $50 left.
Yeah.
Like... It,
and you don't think about it like that at the time, and then you're later like ah, fucking, I don't care, dude. I'll figure that out. I'll make more money, and then you're like, wait a minute, I need to pay what XYZ thing for that, and it's just like, bro,
Yeah.
What am I doing? And like, yeah, it's
not fucking functioning.
No.
Like, I'm sitting here sucking air out of a fucking rubber ball, and just handing this man my cash, and then whomping the fuck out. Can't function. Drooling on myself. Yeah. Doing permanent damage to your brain. You know how much oxygen you have?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you guys are up here mile high. You guys don't have much oxygen as it is.
Nah, not much. Especially if you're smoking as much weed as we do up here.
But you have an even less, man. Like, you're doing irreparable damage to your body and your brain. So, like,
absolutely.
Those consequences will start showing up later, but we haven't quite gotten there.
Like, yeah, I'm not sure what that's going to look like for us.
No, it's well, I mean, it does start to show up.
I'm sure.
Like,
not doubting that, it's just I don't know what it's going
to
look like.
At this point, I start to get to the point where I start to choose going out to parties over responsibilities, because I don't need to fucking work, man. Why would I show up to work tomorrow when I can go have the time of my life? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, it just starts
the disco ball is spinning, man. Like, yeah. I got stuff to do. So that was just more important than anything else. And you can't really pay for an apartment when you're making $10 an hour, if you don't show up to fucking work.
Nope.
So, like, you know, that it's starting to bleed over into, like, the bigger responsibilities, you know?
Yeah.
All those decisions are starting to come up to the point where, like, okay, I can't keep my head above water anymore because I decided to party, because I decided to do drugs, because I decided to use, you know what I mean? Like, in at the time, that's not the way I looked at it. I blamed everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was my friend's fault for introducing me to it. It was this guy's fault for making me think it was cool. It was my parents' fault for whatever fucking reason I could come up with, some kind of ungrateful bullshit, I'm sure. Like, it was never... You made the wrong decision, man. Like, just fucking tighten up and fix it. It was always somebody else's fault.
I mean, there was a thing they told us in rehab was just make the next right decision. I mean, you've made so many wrong decisions now, just start trying to make the next right one.
That's all you can focus on.
That's all you can focus on. And, like, you know, depending on where you're at in your life, the next right decision varies, but... You know, for a lot of people that are at rock bottom,
mm-hmm.
the next right decision is just to fight it and trying to find a way to get help out of there.
Mm.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't have help. That's where we see people that end up out there and lost and gone there forever, man.
Mm-hmm.
And you're familiar with that as all get out.
And, yes, I am.
Where does it go from there?
So at that point, I had... effectively burned every bridge in town, so it was time to leave. Luckily, I had some family that took me in, and I went there, and I did well enough for X amount of time, but it didn't work out because, well, I was still doing the same shit. I did better, but when it came down to it, I hadn't made any changes. I just changed where I was. So
yeah, and I believe another old saying that's just, you know, I forget the exact wording of it, but it's, you know, it's anywhere you go, there you are.
I love that one.
Anywhere you go, there you are. That's a fucking great line, because it's like, dude, like, you can run away all you want location-wise,
mm-hmm.
but until you run away from the person that you were, until you run away from that guy,
mm-hmm.
like, you're never gonna get out of that. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And who's to say maybe change of location is not the spark you need to make the change?
Hey, you might need to do that, too.
Like
that.
Maybe that puts the boot up your ass. Maybe that's
what
it was.
You might
necessary.
Need to do that, too.
Right.
But it's not the solution. It's not the solution. Yeah, yeah.
And I found that out pretty quickly. I ended up getting a DUI.
Okay.
I got a truck. And my first night having the truck.
Oh, my God.
I got a Dewey.
Fuck.
Yeah, very disappointing. You know, and I remember the whole thing clearly. I remember the exact moment I made the decision that landed me in the spot that I got myself in.
Right.
remember everything clearly. I remember what I was thinking.
Yep.
You know, and the consequences were never a part of my mind. Nope. And the fact that I could have hurt somebody else never even crossed it. Not even, not even after I got the Dewey.
Right.
It was, I was too, that's just not where my focus was at the time. I was young and more selfish, more self-centered than I am now. So that put a hitch in my step, but it also tightened me the hell up. When that happened, that was probably the most productive I've ever been in my life. I was working as a landscaper Monday through Friday. So three of those days, I would cut it in half instead of doing the full day. And I would leave and I would go serve tables. So I'd work from 7 a.m., get to the shop at 7, work until about 3:30, run home, shower, go serve tables at Huddle House till 11 o'clock midnight, come home, eat a grilled chicken salad, wake up, you know.
Do it again.
The next day. And then Saturday, Sunday, I'd serve tables because that was the money. That's $200-$250 a shift. So fuck a day off. I got to pay off this DUI. So what I did was find a way to work in a way to work out every day, if not twice a day, on top of the fact that I'm doing 80, 90-hour weeks. Didn't take a day off for 6 months.
Damn it.
I was shredded, dude.
Yeah, man.
And I was the most motivated I've ever been in my life.
Right.
There was no stopping me, no matter what. So I didn't stop from sun up to sundown, and I got 4 hours of sleep and repeat for a long time. And the only thing I had to show for it was paying off that DUI. But that's what I did.
Yeah. Hey. Sometimes what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that mistake kicked me in the fucking ass, and I did really well for a while.
Right.
That got off the rails eventually. And just like anything else, it ends up in the same spot. I think at this point, I had not really made any time socially for any friends. So I didn't have any. I had some acquaintances from work and stuff, but I didn't have any close friends and stuff. And I was in a new place, and I was lonely, and I was seeking friendship in all the wrong places, because all the places I tried first didn't work.
Yep.
So I ended up finding some friends that I had worked with that did hard drugs. And I gave it a shot because I was not unfamiliar with getting high.
And right.
And I wanted to get high somewhere. So fucking bad at this point.
Okay,
I
mean, yeah.
Everything that I could possibly do, I was doing to the nines, dude.
Right.
And I felt like trash.
Yeah.
I was so angry at everything.
Yeah.
But I was effective. And the only thing I wanted was
I'm smiling because I can relate to that.
And to feel better. And what I got...
was the opposite.
Was high on crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I made friends with some folks that smoked crack in the hotel next to the Huddle House, and I started out hitting some rock, and it got me fucking insanely high to the point where you can't function. And eventually that led to me wanting to get back down so I could go to sleep. And that means I'm gonna start sniffing boy or heroin, back before the big fentanyl craze.
Right.
And I think this
yep,
is
there was
this
a days. Is, there were days like that.
This is a transitional moment in it, because that's when I had found my fix. It took a long time to get there, but when I hit it,
the heroin?
Yeah. It made me normal. It felt incredible, don't get me wrong. Like, I didn't need a cigarette because I was entirely
satiated.
That's
the same way my buddy Malik used to describe it.
Yeah.
It just makes me normal, man.
I didn't need anything, but it made me functional. I would do my dope, and I would go to work, and I would be effective and really good at my job, and, like, nobody fucking knew. This is before I got bad off on it. Eventually, I'm like, hey, teach me to shoot that up. I see you doing it all the time. Yeah, like, no, like, I understand, because you're bucking right now. You don't want to teach some kid that you know, you just got hooked on drugs to shoot up, right? And like, I'm like, okay, but I'm gonna figure out how I'm gonna do it anyways. Like, I've done seen you do it 10 times, so either you can teach me to do it the right way, or I'm just gonna do it and figure it out.
Yeah.
So Monster was born.
Yeah.
Because when I dropped that, and she did the whole thing, man. She used the alcohol pad. She did it like she was a nurse, man. And fucking, when that set in like hot fire, man, I a lot changed. There wasn't anything important other than that. Any goal that I had previously.
Let me ask you this: that change from just the needle, from even just the reuse prior to that.
Snorting, yeah, it wasn't like that,
right?
But when I shot it up, it was a entirely different thing.
Yeah, heard that.
And it hits you all at one time. Mm-hmm. And I've never felt anything like it in my life, and I've chased it ever since. You know, it makes the rest of the world bland. Mm-hmm. And it took over. I didn't care about doing anything else with my life. The only thing that I wanted was to get high. And that was it. Like, I would go to work 8, 10, 12 hours. And I would get off of work, and I'd drive to the plug's house. We'd fucking drive to take him to go pick up. We'd get high. We'd party. I'd go home. I'd wake up. I'd go to work, do what I had left, and repeat. I'm making $150 a day in the middle of nowhere, Virginia, where minimum wage is $6.25 or $7 at the time.
Brutal.
Yeah. Like, so I'm making good money and living in my truck because I'm shooting all of it in my fucking arm.
Yeah.
And it's wild when you look at it from a bird's eye view, especially when you're looking back at yourself doing it, because you see everything else in your life now revolves around that. Like, all these little networks, all these little systems where your mind and your body used to go in order to get these things out of your life and to produce these things, no longer exist to do those things. They're a pathway. A pathway, you know, everything in it bleeds into everything you do. Everything ends up like that.
Absolutely.
Because nothing else is important anymore.
I mean, as soon as it gets to the point where it gets to that point, and that it can get to that point with anything. I think that you have a extreme example here with the heroin, given that it's not that, I mean, it's a low percentage of the population that get to that point. And it's, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, but it can get to a point with anything where it's your life. It is your life.
In my mind, my life didn't exist anymore. That was the scariest part. None of the consequences about what I was doing mattered. I swear to God, if I seen a cop and I had to hold my stem up so I could hit this rock in front of him, so I could get high before he pulled me over, and I knew he was going to see it and be able to prove it, I was going to do it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't care about the consequences. I just wanted to get high, dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's... And I was going to push the limits of it. I mean, I was fast enough. I was smart enough, quick, slick, dude. Like, I've been doing this for a long time.
Sure.
I'm not getting caught. So I end up tanking. Eventually run out of money. My friends are dying around me.
Yep.
You could say I was in a bit of a disadvantage, because what I was getting was in the quality that it was. And I was so close to the source. Like, the guy that I got it from, I took him to his guy. He got it in the raw form. My guy made it up, gave it to us. So I'm shooting three of these capsules, because it's in capsules at a time, 4 or 5 times a day. And my friends are dying off of one cap.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just had that tolerance built up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I went 7 months without a sick day, man.
Right, yeah.
Like, I always had it. And it was in the quality that it was. Like, nothing's ever gotten me high like that again. And I didn't know that I had been started on caviar, which is kind of a blessing and a curse, because you're never going to find anything to match it. So, like, it got bad enough to where I end up in a Mexican standoff with the police because somebody OD'd.
Right.
And Virginia is a little bit different than, Colorado or Florida. If you OD in Virginia and they find you with a needle in your arm, you're getting charged with it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. It's not like out here.
Right.
And then you're going to be expected to rat on somebody, or they're gonna book you or whatever.
Right.
That's just their game.
Right.
So, dude OD'd. And I guess Swim knew what to do in the moment, because I guess he'd been there before. Like he said, he'd been doing that a long time. So he dragged him to the bathtub, got him under the cold water. His wife now is a part of this. She leaves him with her, gathers everything in the house, because if you get caught with anything, you're caught.
Yeah.
Gets it all out. So, like, we're in a tower of a apartment building. Gets down to the bottom floor, holds the door open for the EMT, goes, hides everything. Swim gets back upstairs, and his friends are selling him down the river, saying that he shot them up, or shot his friend up, and that he didn't know where the stuff had came from, and that he brought dope in the house. They let him stay there, throwing him under the bus. And Swim gets back up there and is like, hey, what's going on? You know, I wanted to make sure this was okay. And they made a move towards him, and they were like this, that, and the third. And I think that Swim said the opposite, that wasn't the case, and that they couldn't prove that. And in the moment, they were unable to. So the idea was that they were going to search everything, because they found one capsule on the floor. And that's, you know, somebody's getting charged with it. Now it's this dude's house. But Swim's staying there.
That OD'd?
Yeah, that OD'd. Okay. The dude that OD'd, it's his house, but Swim's staying there. So he's got all of his stuff in the corner. This dude gives the police permission to search his property.
Bro.
So Swim says, but you can't search mine.
Bro.
And they were unable to. They were allowed to search everything in the apartment, except for, because they were all, it was all in one area, all together like that. And it was not, they couldn't search it. I forget exactly, you know, why.
Technicality.
But the whole time, you can look at Swim and see his eye. You can look down at the bag and see the handle of the spoon hanging out. All you have to do is pull the zipper. You pull the end of that spoon, and you see the wash in there with the cotton still stuck, dude.
Yeah.
You dig a little bit further, and there's a few rigs. There's caps all through this bag, dude. You're not allowed to touch it. So we're here for 6 hours until shift change. When shift changes, I leave, go to my truck. Obviously, I'm not stupid enough to go get the stuff, even though I'm withdrawing already. Right. That I had hid, and I went to sleep in my truck. 2 hours later, they bang on the window, just like I knew they were going to. I didn't have anything anyways. They harassed me for a few days. I was able to gather what I had, got high the last time, and decided I'm done. So went back and withdrew for 9 days. Fucking terrible. It felt like
I hear
that puppy love from middle school when you got your heart broken the first time. It felt like that.
That's a fucking great way to describe that, because I've never fully like dealt with it like that, but I have withdrawn from heroin once from a short binge, and that is a fucking great way of describing it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like you got your heart broken for the first time.
So I laid on the fucking couch. It's not the best way to do it. It's actually, I probably caused myself some harm not doing it the right way. I basically laid on the couch and watched TV and rocked back and forth for 5 days. Then I went and bought a $5 cap, did it, and then did 4 more days of withdrawal. Then I was clean. And I got my ass out of there. But as you'll see, it kind of starts the cycle of the same thing. I hadn't changed my behaviors. So when I moved to the new location, I was still going to be the same guy and have the same fucking problems. Even if it wasn't with the same people or with the same thing, they might not manifest in the same way, dude, but they're still going to be the same root issues. Because I haven't faced those things, and I haven't made the changes necessary to succeed in the areas of my life that I had failed in because of my choices, you know? So from there I go somewhere else and it's the same damn story. I'm not gonna talk your ear off about it. Made some great moves, made some shit fucking moves.
Yep.
Burned some bridges, made some friends. Ended up getting hooked on drugs again. Tanked everything, disappointed my family and friends at this point. There's not a person hanging on by a thumbnail being like, I still believe in you.
Right.
Because they don't.
Right.
They believe I'm gonna make the same fucking decision next time.
Right.
And they have every right to. It's all they've seen. So that's exactly what I do. I go to the next place and I make the same fucking decisions. So I got hurt. And that kinda changes everything.
Absolutely, dude.
Because of the nature of the injury. I was paralyzed from the belly button down on the left side from an accident, from an injury, from just something that was stupid, helping a friend out, and it changed my life forever. And, you know, it changes the way everything else goes from here, because now it dictates my life. In my decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives me a great reason to use painkillers.
Yep. Absolutely. That's and your brain, the nature of the illness is to lie to you. So it's your brain tells you right away.
It's okay.
It's okay, man. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's for a good cause. And it never is.
It never is, man. It's the same old thing as anything else of that nature, man. It can serve a purpose, but it's a crutch, and if you use a crutch too long, you're going to be a cripple.
100%.
So, I went to jail 8 days after I paralyzed it. I had found a pink cane because I didn't have insurance, so they wouldn't help me.
Right.
I went to the ER. They gave me a shot of Toradol because I drove. And they were like, we can set you an appointment with a specialist. But, you know, I don't have insurance, and I'm in Florida. And I, you know, I have no idea about any of this stuff. I was on my fucking dad's insurance my whole life, you know?
Right.
Like, I've had insurance through work and stuff like that. I've never had anything so serious happen.
Right.
And to be sitting there looking at a doctor who could fix you, when you're a man in your prime, and you don't know, you don't know why it's happening, and they won't stick you in a machine to tell you.
Nope, because you don't have a piece of paper that says something that you're worth it.
You're not covered, doc. Like,
and like, it's like,
it's too expensive for you to have a quality of life.
Exactly.
Sorry, it's on your poor.
Yeah, sure, exactly. And it's still like, for some odd reason, when everybody needs to get a fucking shot in their arm to protect them from an illness, we cover that.
We find a way to make it happen.
Find a way to make that happen.
Oh yeah.
But a kid in his prime can't have the treatment he's necessary because he's not
too poor to have two legs.
too poor to have two legs.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So I got arrested 8 days after.
Right.
I had found a pink cane, and for there's not a better way to say it. It's the best way to describe it. It sounds fucked up, but like it looked like, because my whole left leg had basically turned to jelly.
Right.
But there were little pieces of it I could flex to keep standing straight, and I didn't have the option to stop at the time.
Right.
So I found this little pink cane, and it looked like I had palsy when I stepped, like my whole left side
sure.
bent in like that. And I walked like that on a cane for a while. But I had gotten arrested 8 days in, and jail in Florida is a little bit different.
Sure.
You know, it's more of the shit that you think about whenever you think about, like, you know, most people, the idea of jail, like the shit that happens, like they think it's a, like, you know, real dangerous place, and you know, you could die at any time, and there's gangs and all this stuff, and like in reality, in a lot of places, you go to jail, you get your food, you go home. It's not like that everywhere. I'm not saying it is. It's any of the cities, it's really not like that, but a lot of the times it is. But down there, it's not that simple. You're going to come out on the other side of it a lot fucking tougher. That's for sure. Whether something big happens or not. So, I wasn't given a cane in the jail. I couldn't get a wheelchair, and I couldn't fucking walk. and I'm trying to keep these little orange Bob Barker slides on my feet, and I can't move my foot. So, it keeps coming off every two steps. So I've got to drag my fucking ass through all this shit, and try to figure out how to make this leg that just got paralyzed a week ago work well enough so I can get through jail. Because, you know, it's real easy to look weak in jail. So I have a good memory of me traveling in between buildings. So like I had gotten out of the pod for some reason, I think to go see nurse or something like that, and I was traveling in between the two places, and I'm having a hard time keeping this slide on my foot, and all of a sudden I'm getting kicked in the back of my fucking leg by the CO talking about hurry up. I'm like, dog, you can fucking look at me and see that I can't hurry up. It's not anything more that I can do. Like, I can't fucking walk, dog. But that's just the way things were. So, you know, I didn't fuss about it. I didn't say shit to the dude. I just kept fucking walking. I tried to be a little bit faster. And, you know, get through with that. That was pretty much my jail experience, was me trying to deal with that leg and keep everything else at bay. I had a decent enough time, but I spent a lot of time in pain.
Yeah,
you can't
sure.
have ibuprofen in jail long term.
Okay.
And you can only come up with so many excuses to get it.
Right. Yeah.
My injury is largely the pain level is managed by managing the swelling. A lot of times.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So get through jail. Get out. The reason I was arrested, I had some prescription medicines. That belonged to a family member in a day separator.
Okay.
Didn't have them in the original ones. I had a go bag for them with three outfits and shampoos, hairbrush, all the stuff they needed to take care of themselves for 3 days because they were in a facility. And I went
you
to
got
take
arrested
them,
for that.
Went to take them their meds and all of that stuff. And because I didn't put them in the original. Yeah,
yeah
I didn't
no,
put them
I
in
know,
the original box.
I
bottles.
Know that that's a law. But
so
that's
I got charged with two felonies. Because there was Xanax and morphine in the separator.
Yeah.
And I opted to take drug court because I'd already been in jail for 30 days. I wasn't getting out. So I knew that it was going to take a long time for me to fight my side of this thing. even with all the proper paperwork. So I took drug court, got out, and worked it from that side. Right. So I went, got out, went into a sober living, went to work, you know, did all the right fucking things, did it for however many months until the court came up on a nul pros, which basically means that there's nothing to prosecute because I didn't complete a crime. So our fucking bad. You know, spent however much time in jail, and you did this drug court shit, and derailed your life in X amount of ways, but are bad. You didn't commit a crime, you know?
Right.
I mean, because I didn't. As many crimes as I committed, I just didn't.
Right.
So, you know, I get through that fucking mess. And I'm just about fucking free and clear, man. The things that I'm trying to take care of are starting to clear up. Seeing a girl. And, you know, things are going well. And I, having a hard day on my leg, man. It's not easy to go from being an active young person to having one leg like that. Like, not having one leg, but one working leg.
One functional one, yeah.
Right. Kind of cuts down all the things you're capable of. Right. And I was having a hard day, and I had a friend who had a dispensary down on the beach, and I was like, hit him up, bro, having a hard day, I'm gonna come down there. So I went and grabbed a bottle of Bullet Rye, went, got on the bridge to go to the beach, to the dispensary, see my friend, and I hit traffic. It's a 2-mile bridge, but if you're in traffic on it, it can take 2 hours. So 30 minutes in, I'm like, fuck it, I'll take some shots. I wasn't planning on fucking. Yeah. Not already had one DUI 7 years before this.
For real.
You know, like, fuck it, I could take a few shots. I'm like sitting in traffic, man.
Right.
So I did, had a few shots, smoked a joint. And I'm like 3 car lengths from the little Walgreens where you turn right, that cuts back to the dispensary. I'm homebound, brother. And I woke up, and I had taken my foot off the brake and tapped into the guy in front of me.
Tapped him.
He gets out. I'm like, hey, dude, no reason to get the cops involved. You know, we don't have to call insurance. I can go over to the ATM, give you some cash. They're like, it's a rental. We can't do that. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to call anybody. You don't have to do that. They're from out of state. They don't realize you don't have to call the cops. You don't have to involve, like, authorities like that on an accident, especially something so minor.
Right.
So I had pulled my Mustang over into the parking lot of the Walgreens. It looked like shit because the radiator had been pushed back, so it was steaming.
Yeah.
But their car had nothing on it, not even a fucking scratch, bro. And they called the cops, and I'm an idiot because I could have just walked down to the dispensary. I could have just walked down there, bro. Like, they couldn't have done shit at that point. Like, but I didn't. I stuck around because that's who I am. Right. And I get a DUI.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
You know, there goes my Mustang. By the time I get out of jail, I can't afford to get it out of the impound. They stole my goddamn car.
Yep.
But hey, you know, that was a very fucking tough time in my life. I went to a rehab. I fought a lot of battles that year. Had a lot of fun. Things were really fucking hard, man. I had gone back to jail. You know, it was camped out in there, man. I mean, motherfuckers were paying for toilet paper. Yeah, like don't fucking leave your cell unattended. Your toilet paper's going missing, dog.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Now you're gonna have to buy it.
That's crazy.
Jail provides toilet paper, dude.
Yeah.
But so like just piddly ass shit. It wasn't like, you know, not you know, gangland hard life.
Sure.
Like, but I left out of the other, on the other side of that, a lot tougher than I've ever been in my life. I know at points I had thought I was tough, but on the other side of that, I really was, for better or for worse. And I think this is around the time where my luck had run out. Things stopped falling in my favor. I don't think a coin has flipped my way since. I don't know if there's some immeasurable form of energy or magic that's gone from my life now because I used it up getting away with all the shit I got away with. But it doesn't seem like I get a favorable bounce anymore.
Sure.
If I'm going to do something, I have to lay every corner perfect and make sure it sets. Because if I take my eye off it for a second, the whole thing falls. So there's no more just laying it up. I had said I had gone to a rehab, and you're going to notice a pattern. And I want to say before I get to this point, it's just that like I've made the decisions that I've made, and I in no way have any room to complain about things not going my way. Because I tend to get in trouble or have things go wrong whenever it is nothing, or it shouldn't. And it's probably because when I'm doing bad shit, I get away with it. So when I'm not doing shit, I get caught for bullshit. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, when I... You know, it's... Sorry, for the listeners, Amy, my dog, just walked into the room and trying... That snapping sound is me trying to get her to come over here. Yeah, no, when you... It feels like when you're not doing anything that... You feel like you're doing things that are right, that people treat you like you're doing something wrong. I can relate to that recently with...
You know, I don't think I had hit that point 100% with with all people yet. I know.
No, it's not everybody for sure.
I definitely wasn't treated well by like, you know, some different people in my life. Just, not that they had any malice towards me. It's just that they no longer treated me with any kind of respect. They never had any kind of expectation for me. There was never any kind of thought in their mind that I could do anything other than what I've already done.
Right.
Which is 100% deserved.
Sure.
You know?
Earned, at least. I don't know about deserved.
100% earned. You're right about that.
Yeah.
So I hadn't got to the point where they, you know... I wasn't the most hated man in the city yet.
Right.
But,
yeah.
At this point, it starts to get to, a bit redundant.
Build up, fuck up, lose it. Build up, fuck up, tear it all down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm in Arkansas. I have a discussion with the person I'm staying with. I gotta go. Not on any like real bad terms or anything like that. They just wanted to do something else with the space I was using.
Sure.
And it was time for me to go. I had $600. I had no more money coming in. I had to pick a spot on the map and go.
Right.
So I looked at where is, you know. Prosperous, and I'm headed west. So I looked at a few different spots. I'm like, okay, let's narrow this down. You know, which ones have art scenes, food cultures, like different things I'm interested in. And like, healthcare was a major thing.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I think the biggest factor, and it's crazy, is just the kratom scene. Kava bar scene, being from Florida, is a big staple down there. You know, it's a, for me, a lifeline. When things do get choppy or I feel myself start to go the wrong way, it's pretty easy for me to just be like, you know what, I'm gonna go down to the Kava bar. instead of like continuing down this path where I know like, fuck it, I'm gonna get a drink, and then, you know, I'm out behind King Supers fucking twacked off the fent, boy.
Absolutely.
And it kind of provides some security. I know that I'll always have something, because I always need something. I'm an addict, man. Like, I'm not the worst addict on the face of the planet, but I need something all the time. If I don't, my brain's not happy.
Yeah, I agree.
And I can go periods of time without, you know, I could sit on my hands, and I've done it for you know, I've quit smoking for 6 months to a year at a time. And obviously, right. If I'm not smoking, I'm not doing any other shit.
Right. Yeah.
But like, and I get by, you know. But like, my mind is happier, and I'm happier when I have something, whether that's a vape or, you know. So on the recreational side of it, it's important for me to have in my decisions, like, it's that's not the way that I wanted to say that. It's important for me to have something like that, because it aids me in my decisions. But on the other side of it, like, I am in constant pain with my injury. And I don't want to take pain pills, because I know where they go. I know we've been sitting here talking about all these drugs and shit that I've done, and I'm over here turning my nose up at pharmaceuticals because I'm too good for big pharma.
I feel that, though, dude. They feel like liars and cheats, man. I mean, yeah, man. It's 100%, dude. It's like I don't blame you for turning your nose up at Big Pharma there.
Like, when I have surgeries and stuff, I'll take it because I need it.
Oh, that's different, dude. Like, that's a fucking there's a purpose for all these things.
Where I have surgery and I wake up and I'm like, oh fuck, this really hurts. Never mind, give me the fucking medicine. I'm like that pregnant lady that's like, give me the epidural.
Oh yeah, that was like, I know that experience. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need to do all that. I don't need to be a fucking afraid of a little pill just because I make some fucking bad decisions that pertain to them. All I need to do is be responsible in how I deal with them, and I need to make sure that I treat them with respect, you know?
Right.
I treat myself with respect.
100%, dude. I think that's something you have a track record with yourself to tell yourself that you're not worth it and give it all away at a certain time, even though you know that you're very fully capable of building yourself up from rock bottom. And so, but you just then find it within yourself to throw it away because you don't think you deserve it, you need a break, whatever the case is. But
at some point, you just run out of reasons to do stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I got tired of looking for a reason to keep going.
Sure.
Like, it wasn't even like I was out of reason. I'd been out of reasons for a long time. I was tired of finagling and making some stupid-ass shit that I didn't even care about work for motivation. Like, it just, you know, I don't... A lot of times it comes down to I don't see the point. And I think that comes from a lot of the patterns we're about to talk about with this side of my life. Is just damn, you ever watch anime?
Not really, no, actually.
Fucking A, man. There's a great reference for this shit.
Damn. Give it to the crowd. I'm sure there's someone out here listening to us and listens to it, watching anime.
Overhead. It's one of those RPG animes.
Sure.
One of the characters in it, when he was born into this like game world, like an RPG type game world, was given a task. That's his calling, right?
Right.
His calling is to use this axe to chop this tree down. It's this giant fucking tree, bro. The circumference is like, she's fine. The circumference is like the size of the apartment building. Just a big ass fucking tree, bro. Yeah. They give him this like bone saw axe thing to fucking chop through it through, and every day this dude goes out there and swings this axe X amount of times.
Okay.
For 8-10 hours, like he's working a job.
Right.
And then he goes home. He's not making any fucking progress. He's been doing it every day for 6 years, 7 years, 10 years. It still looks like the same amount on the tree.
Right.
And swinging this fucking axe at it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, somebody told him this was the right thing to do, so he does it.
Right.
He's doing it the right way.
Huh.
He's doing it with the tools he was given. He's doing exactly what he was told.
Right.
And he is making progress.
Sometimes you gotta wonder if that person that told you was right at all.
It's just not visible. Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I have felt for a long time. It's just that I'm swinging this axe away, doing the right things, making the right choices.
And somehow getting nowhere.
Making so much fucking progress under the surface, it's not even funny.
But at the same time, taking one steps step backwards. Forward and then two steps back.
Always getting worse. Getting better
and then getting
at dealing with everything, but everything continues to get worse. I'm just getting better at fucking dealing with it. I get more accustomed to having what I have in life.
Right.
It'll become apparent why, if I start explaining some things.
Sure.
Because it becomes redundant. You know, I came out here with $600. I didn't even land with $600. I had to get a fucking plane ticket.
Sure.
And an Airbnb for a week.
Sure.
So I swing away, man. Like, I was told Friday, landed on Monday, dude. Like, it was time to go. And if I waited around, I wasn't even going to have that $600. So I landed and got the Airbnb. I had a job at Cirque du Soleil. It wasn't as much money as they told me. I wasn't making great money, so I was like, fuck it. It's nice outside. I can sleep outside. I got a gym pass. It's fine. I don't need to pay for this Airbnb. And I never quite got it back right. I had some times after that where I spent some time in an Airbnb again, but I never quite got it back right. All year, I was doing everything I could to make sure that I had jobs and enough money to at least pay for my Kratom tea and, you know, get by with my gym pass and maintain all the things that I needed to maintain. Well, at some point, things started to stop working. Okay, I would take a job through an app for a temp service, get the address, show up at the address, nobody's here. Okay, that's fine. What's going on? I call them. Hey man, you're at the wrong address. Well, I went to the one that it gave me. No, that's not the right one. This is the right one. You're not going to work today. Oh, well, okay. Guess I'll figure it out tomorrow. Hopefully that doesn't look too bad. Get a job with like a temp service for restaurant workers, and like it's fucking sick, but like something gets filed the wrong way and it counts against you because you weren't clocked out at the right time for some stupid bullshit.
Sure.
So now you can't accept shifts.
Sure.
Because you had one time being late, and then this happened, and because when this happened, it kicked over. It's, you know,
sure.
You know, you message the team or whatever, and like, it's okay that you've been reviewed well every job you've had, but not gonna be able to grab shifts that way. So, you know, start housekeeping or whatever, and you know, something always was happening at this time, and I wasn't overcoming any of it. I'm drawing a blank on examples because I'm trying to give you like real examples that happened, but it was a lot of things just like that.
It's all good, you know. I mean, I get the gist of it. It seems like it's unexplainable, not necessarily your fault, and then these things just happen, and it's just now you're shit out of luck.
And now I'm standing here with my hands in the air.
Yeah.
And it's my fucking fault.
Yeah.
It might not be, but I'm the one holding the responsibility.
You're the one living behind those eyes, and that's mm-hmm. where it's happening to.
So I'm, you know, having to deal with the fact that okay, maybe I'm not as good as I used to be. Sure. I can't make anything happen. Bro, it didn't matter what you fucking threw at me. Like, you could throw me the wildest curl. You couldn't stop me. It wasn't going to happen. Like, right. And if you could outsmart me, I was going to headbutt the shit until it gave way.
Sure.
Like, and I was a hard worker, man.
Well,
like,
what I noticed you're saying right now is I was. I mean, I know you all right, and you still are that way, dude. You still are hard-headed. You still are, like, a hard worker. You still are going to do whatever needs to be done to get onto the other side of what needs to be the case. I mean, we've been trying to figure out over the past, you know, day or so where it's like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll talk more about it for sure. But I think we should get out of here on this note that, you know, you still are that person. You're just your perception of yourself currently. And I, you know, this may not be entirely it, but the perception of yourself right now is that it's just, I can't. But I think that, you know, there's, you know, you can't really let yourself take that. You can't let yourself be like, I was this, I was that, I was, you know, but you got to be on the I am. You still are a hard worker. You can still find. I mean, Doug, you've been telling me over the past few weeks, like, yeah, you're on. By the way, we don't have a camera at all on this thing. He had some crazy surgeries on his feet. I'm not gonna go into the details, but he's on a fucking scooter, like rolling around with a brace on his foot. He's fucked right now, dude. And he can't work like legit stuff right now, but you know what he's been hauling his motherfucking ass all the way up to Golden, which down from Englewood or wherever he's been staying is not fucking,
ride 2.5 hours on the train.
Yeah, 2.5 hours on the train. He goes up there to Golden and fucking starts playing guitar on the side of the road like a real fucking rock star, man.
It's downtown Golden, so it's like it's a bunch of shops and stuff where
that's the side of the road.
And it's yeah, that, well, I mean, it's all right. So like, it's more on like the street performance side.
Sure.
The busking, like dude has a guitar and he's asking for money side. More of like, I can create an atmosphere. Like I go out there and I play.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think I don't think there's any difference in the action of those two things. I think there's a difference in the performer of those two things.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's not, just what I was trying to say.
Yeah, okay. it's like those two things are the same fucking thing, but it's who's playing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I just, you know, let's get out of here on this, that you're going to figure this out, dog. You figured this out a bunch of times, and then somehow it slips away from you, but I don't know if you've ever had a group of people around you that really care at all. And you got, I know that you got some people that do care around you now. And, you know, man, I have faith for you, dude. I think it's going to be okay. And I think that, you know, despite of how much you're going through right now and how much it's painful and how much it's really taking a lot from you, you know, I told you last night that when you put yourself in the position to create things for other people, what is that the artist it will provide, the artist will provide. It is the entity that lives up there that is creation, and that's a belief I have about the world, the earth, the universe that we live in, is that the artist is the creator, and it will provide when you create things for others to help others in your same scenarios. That's at least my belief. But I think we'll leave it on that for now. That was a fantastic episode. Good job, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, absolutely, man.
I'm excited to wrap it up. We haven't even gotten to the good stuff.
Hey, well, you know, we should probably, you're gonna be around, so we'll fucking, let's do an episode tomorrow. And
sick.
Let's get to that. Let's pause that. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. This one will probably end on this, and then I'll probably have a separate episode with the second half of this. So, yeah. So, thank you everybody for listening to Malfunction Junction. Thank you everybody, Dakota. Thank you for being here. And,
thanks for hearing me out, guys.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys next time.